The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but for the last several weeks, our first reading here at Daily Mass has been taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And today, we come to the very best part. 1 Corinthians 13. That was our first reading today. And you might not know it by number or chapter, but I'm certain that you know it by content. It's one of the most beloved passages in the entire Bible. That's the one that says love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things, love never fails. There's three things that last in the end: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. You know, it's almost lyrical. You could almost set it to music. But if you want to know why this passage is so important, what actually makes it great, there's two reasons. First of all, it tells us what love means. And secondly, it gives us a great examination of conscience. I'm no linguist, but I know that words change with time. And I often sometimes think, if it wasn't for the faith, if it wasn't for the church, we'd have lost the meaning of the word love entirely. It might be the most misused, misapplied word in the entire English language right now, because people use love as a cloak for every type of sin, selfishness, and evil. Because people think love means anything at all to which they have a very strong, warm emotion. Thank God for St. Paul for nailing down the meaning of the word love. That's the first reason why this passage is so great. Here's the second. It's a fantastic examination of conscience. Let me try to explain. Many, many years ago, I mentioned this before, I tried to become a monk. And one of the things I remember from being in the monastery was a talk that one of the monks gave at the weekly Sunday chapter meeting. So all the monks gather for this talk called Chapter. And the talk was on faith, hope, and love. And he said, I'll never forget this, he said, "The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is ego. Because love means complete self-forgetfulness for another person, and ego is complete self-absorption. That's why the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is ego. And that means that hell is a place of perfect ego. So everyone's completely self-absorbed. Whereas heaven is a place of perfect love. Before anybody sets foot into heaven, the ego has to go down to zero. You have to become love itself, or you don't fit." That's where this becomes such a great examination of conscience. Simply take every time St. Paul applies the word love, put your own name in, and you'll discover that you've got a lot to pray about. For example, love is patient. Does that describe you? St. Gregory the Great once said that patience is the endurance of a hardship with gentleness. Do you endure hardships with gentleness, or rather with coldness or bitterness? Does that describe you, or
might you have something to pray about. He says, love is kind. And you say, well, that's definitely me. I'm kind to every living creature. Hold on just a second. St. Thomas Aquinas once defined kindness. He said, it's when you return a good when someone hands you an evil. Does that describe you? Or might you have a thing or two to pray about? He says, love is not jealous, love is not pompous. You know, the funny thing about the ego, it's constantly in competition with everybody else's ego. Such that if anybody else is honored, promoted, praised, thanked, somebody else has a funnier joke, somebody else drives a better car, whatever it might be, we take it as a threat. The little ego is suddenly under threat, and we lash back, don't we? Try to cut them down a couple of notches, right? Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said that a reputation is kind of like a ball. Once it starts rolling, everybody wants to kick it around a little bit. Does that describe you? Love never does that. He says, love does not brood over injury. Do you brood over injury? You know, the actual Greek word here in St. Paul's text means that you keep a little mental library of all of your injuries. So you picture a librarian poring over every last record of every last injury, cataloging it, and keeping it all with the utmost care and attention. Love never does that. Love moves on. And he says, love doesn't rejoice in what's wrong. It rejoices in the truth. Ask yourself, does that describe you? Do you rejoice in what's wrong? Do you squeal with glee whenever you hear of the moral failing of, oh, maybe your favorite politician, maybe your favorite celebrity? Squeal with glee and, of course, say, well, I would never do anything like that, not me. I love this. The Greek, the Germans have a fantastic word for this, Schadenfreude. Maybe you've heard that word before. The Germans have so many fantastic words. Schadenfreude. It's a word that means the joy you take at somebody else's misfortune. In German, literally, it means joy at damage. Love never does that. Ego does that. Love moves on. Might you have something to pray about? St. Paul says, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason it as a child. But then I grew up. There's plenty of 60, 70, and 80-year-olds out there who are still very spiritually immature. They've never overcome themselves. They've never grown up. And St. Paul's words are a wake-up call. Because at the twilight of our lives, as St. John of the Cross says, we will be judged by our love. God gives us the strength. St. Paul shows us the way, but only you and I can make the choice. And so if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.